What makes a camp special is not just the state, and it's not just the climate. It is definitely the people involved. And you have got some great folks leading you in this youth department, the Cantrells and the Claibornes. And then I look back at your good principal and his wife, the Whites, and all of the counselors and the staff that I've met around here. They're all so happy. I've been to some camps where it seems like none of the workers are happy, but everybody seems to be enjoying themselves and having a good time, and I know that is a reflection of you, it's a reflection of the leadership, and it's a reflection of how good God has been to all of us. Thank you very much for the opportunity to be here, and we want this district to go on and have an even greater revival than what you've experienced thus far. I'm looking forward to a great revival in the 1995-96 school year, and whatever school you're going to, I believe there's somebody waiting on you to bring the light of the gospel into the world. Amen. You have your Bibles tonight. I get to preach one more time. I just didn't know if you guys were going to let me while I go. Nothing like high sopranos. Few baritones joining in there. Numbers chapter 7. Thank you, Brother Cantrell, and this youth committee and district board for inviting us. And we're having a great, great time. What a wonderful choir sang tonight. These soloists and everybody that participated in the worship. Numbers chapter 7 outside of Psalm 119 is probably one of the longest chapters in the Bible, and we're going to read the whole thing. No, we're not. I'd like to begin reading at verse 84. 84 of Numbers chapter 7. Numbers 7, verse 84. This was the dedication of the altar in the day when it was anointed by the princes of Israel: 12 chargers of silver, 12 silver bowls, 12 spoons of gold, each charger of silver weighing 130 shekels, each bowl 70. All the silver vessels weighed 2,400 shekels after the shekel of the sanctuary. Look at verse 86. The golden spoons were 12, full of incense, weighing 10 shekels apiece. After the shekel of the sanctuary, all of the gold of the spoons was 120 shekels. The golden spoons were 12, full of incense. Everybody say, I love you, Jesus. Put down your Bibles and lift up your hands, and why don't you tell Him that for just a moment. I love you, Jesus. This is the reason why I'm singing. That's the reason why I'm praising Him. His eye is certainly on the sparrow, and I know He watches over me tonight. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name. Everybody say glory. Glory. I'll say it as we do down south. We don't get in a hurry. We say glory. Oh, I've just anointed you guys, southerners. You may be seated. The book of Numbers picks up where the book of Exodus leaves off. Exodus takes us right up to the edge of the Jordan River, right up to the banks of the Promised Land. They've received the law. Now, what are they going to do with it? Numbers answers that question. It covers the 40-odd years before Mount Sinai, or after Mount Sinai, year of preparation to enter the Promised Land, and then 39 years of punishment for having disobeyed God. The book gets its number, or its name, from two numberings of Israel. There was a numbering of Israel right after they had the law delivered to them at Sinai. That tells me something. It's always a good time to take stock of yourself when the Word of God is preached. When the Word of God is preached, it's not just for your neighbor. It is for you. The Word of God is a mirror that you can see yourself. It says, Josiah, when he found the Word of God hidden amongst the debris, when he found the Word of God found him. When you hear the Word of God, it's a good time to take a numbering, a spiritual census of yourself. Then we have 39 years of disobedience, where men came up to the edge of the promised land, and because of fear and unbelief, they refused to go in. There at the edge of the Jordan River, their hearts were revealed. And in the 39 years while they were dying off in the wilderness, you see, God would rather let you die in the wilderness than to take you in the promised land if you have no faith in Him. 39 years, the book of Numbers, we read of the likes of Korah and Dathan and Abiram and Balaam and plagues and rebellion and all of that. But all is not lost, because we come to the second numbering at the end of the book. When they come back to the Jordan River, they take stock of themselves again before they cross into the promised land. Jericho awaits them. Just prior to a great undertaking, to a great endeavor, it's always a good thing to take stock of yourself, to make sure you've got what it takes to go into battle. You guys and you gals are getting ready to go home. You're getting ready to start school. It's a good thing you have this camp right when it is, because it's given you the opportunity to take inventory of yourself. And I'm telling you tonight, if you're not full of the Holy Ghost, now is the night to get full of the Holy Ghost before you leave this building. Amen. Amen. But all's not lost in the book of Numbers, because we read a great deal about the Old Testament church, the tabernacle. The text that we read deals with the dedication day. The heads of the 12 tribes of Israel are each bringing their offerings. Already in the preceding chapter, they've brought ox-drawn carts to transport the portable furnishings of their tabernacle through the wilderness. But in this chapter, they were not bringing something for work. They were bringing something for worship. On 12 successive days, each of the princes of the 12 tribes of Israel would step forward and would bring offerings of worship before the Lord. These that they brought, we read in our text, was one silver charger, that's a platter, that weighed about 130 shekels of pure silver. That's 3 pounds of silver. Then they brought, each prince would bring a silver bowl that weighed about 1.5 pounds of silver, and it was filled with fine flour and with oil for a meal offering. Then they brought a young bullock, a ram, a lamb for burnt offerings, a goat for a sin offering, 2 oxen, 5 goats, lambs and rams for peace offerings before the Lord. But then comes the smallest of all of the offerings. Each of the princes of the 12 tribe of Israel was required to step forward. And in their hand they held a golden spoon that weighed about 10 shekels. That's about 4 ounces. The world's first quarter pounder they held in their hand. And that golden spoon, the Bible says, was to be filled with incense. And that incense was to be taken to the golden altar and spread upon the coals. And it would waft up toward the heavens as a sweet-smelling savor unto God. That Old Testament tabernacle was a beautiful shadow of things to come. For in Revelation 4 we read that there is an incense going up before God right now. And it's the prayers and the worship and the praise of the saints of God. They had already brought their meal offerings. They had already brought their burnt offerings. They had already brought their sin offerings and their peace offerings. But this tiny golden spoonful of incense represented nothing more than a sacrifice of praise. I'd like to preach to you for a few minutes tonight on just a spoonful of praise. You know, praise is something precious. It has been said that silence is golden, but I say praise is golden. Of all of the other offerings that were brought of silver, this is the only one mentioned that was to be made of gold. And from that we see that praise is indeed very precious in the sight of God. Why is it precious, Brother Curley? It is precious because of its source. The Creator said of man, I will make a man more precious than fine gold, even a man more than the golden wedge of Ophir. You and I are not junk. We are not trash. We are not worthless. You and I are golden instruments that were meant to sing praises and to give glory unto the Lord our Creator. You weren't made for a dance hall. You weren't made to be in a bar. You weren't made to snort cocaine. You were made to get in heavenly places and to lift up holy hands and to magnify your Creator. That's why God made you. I will say to the north, give up. I will say to the south, give not back. Bring my sons and daughters from afar. Why, prophet? Because I have made them for my glory. You were made to glorify God in your bodies. Why is praise precious? Praise is precious because of not only who it comes from, but of what it represents. Praise is precious because it represents the conquering of man's basic nature, which is selfishness. Some of you have watched some other young men and young ladies standing around in groups talking. One of them looked over at the shoulder at you and you thought, they're talking about me. Nah, they're talking about themselves. You saw someone coming towards you. They're thinking about me. Nah, they're thinking about themselves. Because we're so selfish and we're so self-absorbed. Our world is so tiny. It is so small. It usually revolves around that single letter word, I, me, mine and myself. We prostrate in worship at the altar of self. All the time. We're thinking right now, you know, I'm a little hot. I'm a little tired. I'm a little hungry. I'm a little thirsty. I picked up our song book in our church the other day and I began to copy down the songs that begin with the word I. And I began to wonder how much of our worship is self-absorbed. It revolves around us. But you know what? Praise is precious because it gets your attention off yourself for just a little while. And you lift up your eyes to the hills from which cometh your help. And you begin to say, it's not me, it's Him. I don't need to be thinking about me. I need to be thinking about the Lord. The Lord is my life. The Lord is my salvation. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my helper. The Lord is my strong and mighty tower. The Lord is my shield and my buckler. I'll tell you what praise is. Praise is forgetting about yourself and forgetting about how tired you are and forgetting about who's sitting beside you and getting lost a little while in worshiping the One who deserves every breath that you breathe. He deserves every word that you speak. He deserves every second of every minute. He deserves all your time. Oh, Brother Gurley, I came into this service weary, worn, and sad. You don't know what the dorms have been like this week. Nobody knows the troubles I've seen this week. It's been bad. Hadn't slept an hour on any given night without being interrupted by a Wolfman Jack giving his imitation of Tarzan swinging through the jungles. It's been a long week, Brother Gurley. Don't expect me to do anything tonight. When I think of His goodness and all He has done for me, I want to dance, 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 dance.
when you get your mind off yourself. Why is praise golden? Because it represents the conquering of your selfish nature, and you've got your mind on God. Has He been good to you? Has He answered every single one of your prayers? Has He ever let you down? Get that, devil. We're serving a good God. He is not a celestial fuddy-duddy. He's not a berserk big daddy. He's not a cosmic party pooper. I got a God who is high and lifted up. The Lord is great and greatly to be praised. Why is praise precious? Because when you lift up Jesus, let me just get it straight with you. God doesn't need our praise. He doesn't need one thing you've got. He is totally sufficient in and of Himself. He doesn't need it. Then, Brother Gurley, why am I commanded to praise Him? It's not because He needs it. It's because you need it. Because when you begin to lift Him up, you get lifted up. You begin to arise above your difficulties. You get your mind off the miasma of petty things and focus on the greatness and the grandeur of a magnificent God. Yeah? Now, I noticed that each of those spoons were made out of gold, and that tells me that praise is indeed precious. I noticed that there were 12 spoons, one for each tribe of Israel. That's exactly what it was for. But pardon my flight of imagination, because I see something else there. Oh, we can have revival, but not in January. You see, January, it's cold. In February, not in February, it's even colder. March, go fly kite in March. April, it's raining. Those showers have got to bring in Mayflowers. And May, oh, come on. We're just getting over Easter and resurrection stuff. And dramas and passion plays. We can't have revival in May. And besides, graduations here. And who's going to worship God in May? And June? Well, June's the first month of summer, preacher. Now, come on. Give us a break. What is this thing? What called Christianity? An all-year-round kind of thing? And July. Now, Brother Gurley, I just want to let you know that not all places in California like Santa Maria. It gets hot where I live. And we can't have revival in July. August. August is just camp. It's just camp. Oh, I just felt something. It's just camp. September, we're going back to school. We got to get settled in. October, no Halloween is in October. We dress up like ghosts and goblins. Dear me, November, it's Turkey Day. And who can even think about Jesus at Christmas? I noticed there were 12 spoons. It doesn't matter if it's January. It's a good time to praise Him. And February is a great month to praise Him. I tell you, even in the dog days of summer, even in August, it's a good time to pull out your 10-string instrument and begin to give praises unto the King of Kings. There's 12 gates to that city. If you want to get raised in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, it comes when you begin to drop that incense on the altar. I'm telling you, begin to praise Him.
I do without that.
Amen, 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 amen. Sit down. It's easy to praise God before you get in junior high. I used to praise God when I was first, second, third, and fourth, fifth grade. Junior high, well, junior high was a little easier. It didn't have near the complications that I've got right now, Brother Gurley. Six, seven, eight. Tell you what, when you get in ninth grade and tenth grade, you got to start learning how to defend yourself. You got to learn how to be smooth. You got to learn how to walk around and be debonair. You've got to learn how to shout without really shouting. Got to get your moves down. Because, you know, we're not really shouting to please Him. We're shouting to please ourselves. And maybe it's... Sometimes we're no better than the heathens with our canned worship. We punch the little buttons and we know just the right dance moves. We practice them in front of the bathroom mirror. We ought to have them down. When was the last time you forgot about everybody standing around you? And you said, I'm not doing this. But like David of old, you said, I'm going down an unprecedented path. A place nobody has ever gone before. I got the presence of the Lord behind me. I got the city of God in front of me. I don't care what anybody else thinks about me. I'm going to dance with all of my might before the Lord. I don't care who sees me. I don't care what I look like when I get through. Oh, I'm not talking about Pentecostal patty cakes. I'm not talking about apostolic antics. I'm talking about heartfelt worship. When your praise hits red hot coals of fervor. Oh, my, 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 my. They're called the Psalms of Degrees, the Psalms of Ascent. These Psalms of Ascent, I love you, but we're about to have a problem up here. These Psalms of Ascent were designed for the children of Israel when they were coming up to the city of Jerusalem. Do you know that the city of Jerusalem is the highest place around? And if you left Jerusalem, you were going down. You leave here without a blessing. You leave here without the Holy Ghost. You leave here without a victory. You leave here without being filled with His Spirit. You need to get your little golden spoonful out and say, God, it's only about half full. I need to fill it up. They were called the Psalms of Degrees. The Psalm of Ascent. The first one was sung when they were at the base of the holy hill of Zion. They would walk up a little ways, change keys, they're getting higher. And they'd go up a little farther and change keys because they're getting up a little higher. And change keys. 15 times they got higher and higher and higher. Because the closer you get to God, it ought to be more and more and more. With a greater expectancy, a higher faith, and a stronger confidence that the one that's sitting on His throne, He can do whatever you need Him to do. Yeah. There was a golden spoonful for 9th grade, for 10th grade, for 11th grade, and for 12th grade. It doesn't matter what grade you're in. I tell you, it's a good year to give God the glory. It's a good month to give God the glory. Well, that was my introduction. I feel like preaching right now. All right. When it came time for the tribe of Judah or Reuben or Naphtali or Zebulun or whoever to come before, it was his day. The Bible didn't say that he brought a bucket full or a truckload or a semi-trailer or a freight car filled with incense. He brought a tiny golden spoon. The prince of the tribe of Judah, it represented more than just for him. But it was for his little family. It was for his entire clan. It was for the entire 600,000 fighting men of Judah and their wives and children. One tiny spoonful of praise for a whole tribe. It don't take much praise to get the job done. It really doesn't take much praise to get the job done. Prove it to me, Brother Gray. All right. I'll take you back into the Old Testament, the greatest prophet in the Old Testament, the one that we love and admire, the wild man, Elijah. Elijah came to that Carmel meltdown, and he looked at the prophets of Baal in the face. There were 400 prophets of Baal and 450 prophets of the grove. 850 false prophets standing opposite one man. I love the odds. He looked at them and he looked at Israel. Said, okay, Israel, it's showdown time. It's high noon at Carmel. We're going to find out who's got the goods. If Baal is God, serve him. But if he is God, serve him. So when the sun came up and the morning began, Elijah said, this is what we're going to do. You build your altar, you call on your God, and the God that answers by fire, he is God. All 850 prophets, as the sun came up, gathered around their altar, and they began to cry out to Baal. They cried and cried and cried till it was midday at noon. Elijah was sitting in the shade of his tree, no fear of Baal answering, because Baal didn't have ears. And even if Baal did have ears, he didn't have any power. And so he sat up under the tree, probably drinking some lemonade, fanning himself with some grape leaves. Thank you. And he was just fanning himself. And he got up about noon at the zenith of the sun. And he began to mock them. He began to say, you need to cry out a little louder. He's on vacation. He's not here. He's asleep. I know what it is. He sleeps till noon. Sound like, no, never mind. And he sleeps till noon. Not when school gets here, though, no. And he sleeps till noon. Get up and cry out a little louder. So the Bible says that these 850 prophets, they cried out louder. And they began to cut themselves with knives and lances. They crawled up on top of their altar and began to scream until evening. Now, the Jewish way of reckoning was morning was at 6 in the morning and evening was at 6 p.m. That means for 12 solid hours, 850 prophets called out on their God and worshiped their God. I added it up. An average person can speak
about 200 words a minute, especially when he's repeating vain repetitions that the heathen do. Now, 850 prophets, 200 words a minute for 12 hours. That means each person is speaking 12,000 words an hour. That means each of those prophets were speaking 144,000 words in 12 hours. That means 850 prophets were speaking 122,400,000 words to call on their God. But then,
and it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice.
About the time the sun went down, and the last cheery red glow of the sun was in the western sky.
Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel.
Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel.
Let it be known this day.
Let it be known this day.
That thou art God in Israel.
That Baal's not God, but thou art God in Israel.
And that I am thy servant.
That I am thy servant. The only one, by the way, standing around here.
And that I have done all these things at thy word.
I built the altar. I placed a sacrifice on it. Put my 12 stones together. Put the sacrifice, the wood around it. Drenched it with 12 barrels of water. Done what you asked me to do.
Hear me, O Lord.
Hear me, God. Hear me, O Lord.
That this people may know that thou art the Lord God.
That everybody standing around here on Mount Carmel might know that you are really God.
And that thou hast turned their heart back again.
That thou hast turned their heart back again. I can see those 850 bloodlet prophets laying there, if they were still alive, thinking, that was the most nothing prayer I've ever heard. I can see the accountant in there. There's always an accountant, a bean counter in the bunch. He said, I just counted it. It was 63 words. What in the world can 63 words do compared to 122,000,000? 400,000 words. It can do a whole lot when you're praying to the right God.
Right, right, right.
I can see old Reuben and Benjamin and their tribes shaking their shaggy heads and saying, oh man, the prophet's done blown it on this one. He should have at least got him a megaphone. And where's all the angels at? And I mean, where is the loud speaker? And where is the choir and the orchestra here? This was one of the most pathetic, primitive displays of prayer I've ever heard. I can see Benjamin looking at Reuben and saying, oh boss, I guess Baal is God. This measly, paltry, stinking little 63-word prayer. What does he think 63 words is going to do?
Then the fire of the Lord fell.
Now wait a minute. What was that that I just saw coming through the atmosphere? It looked like Elijah's face just lit up there. I think I smell a little smoke. It smells like Santa Maria barbecue up here. It smells like roasted beef. What's going on up here? I'm telling you what happens. It doesn't matter how eloquent you are. It doesn't matter how well you can phrase your words. When it comes from the heart, get ready. The fire is going to fall in the building. Just a little praise will do. Tonight, Brother Smith's got the buses loaded up. We're all going to load up with him. He's going to take us into heavenly places.
Whose buses are going to sprout wings? You just thought your youth leader drove fast. Wait till you get in these buses. He's going to carry us on a tour of another world. We're going to go beyond the first heavens and the second heaven. Clear up into the third heaven that Paul talked about. We're going to go into the realm that many, many mortals have desired to see. We read about John being caught away. We read about Isaiah being caught away. And a man Paul referred to in the third person of being caught away into that third heaven where we're going there tonight. Why are we going there, Brother Curley? We're going there to learn how to praise God. Oh, man, everybody's got to get your pencils and notebooks out. This has got to be complicated. We park outside of a solid gate of translucent pearl. We file down streets of transparent gold. We walk around looking at these beautiful mansions, and one of them has got your name on it. Some of you came to camp, and you didn't have a mansion. But you got a mansion now. If there's any reason you ought to praise God, if for no other reason, it's been you've been brought out of darkness into this marvelous light that you can show forth this praise.
Okay.
Ooh, there's no telling what kind of choir we're going to hear. I imagine that choir's got 3,412 verses they're going to sing. No telling how many reprises. No telling how many orchestra members. There is no telling what we're going to sing when we get up there. And we begin to walk. The Bible says it's a city 1,500 miles by 1,500 miles. And it goes up 1,500 miles, making us think that it's a holy hill of Zion, like a great big mountain rising in the sky. We begin to walk up. We pass by a huge sea of glass mingled with fire. We walk by and we see a stream come curling around us, and trees with leaves for the healing of the nation, and fruit that bears fruit every month of the year. And we get closer and we get closer, and we can sense we're getting close to the throne of God. And suddenly we begin to hear some sounds coming out of the corridors of glory. We see something go whoosh. Something just went by us. What was that? I don't know, Billy Bob, but it had six wings on it. Hey, Marge, did you see what just went by? Marge, our resident Bible scholar says that is a seraphim. A seraphim. It's got six wings. And we watch it. It goes by again with twain. They cover their face. And with twain, they cover their feet. And with two, they fly. I can see them flying around the throne. And what is it we're hearing? We're hearing the sound that God never gets tired of. We're hearing the sound that the Bible says day and night, forever and ever, they sing this same praise unto God. Tell me what it is. It's got to be complicated. It is. It's a single, two-syllable word. They're saying holy. 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 I don't know how to worship like you Pentecostals do. Here's how you do it. Holy. 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 Holy! Doesn't he ever get tired of it? No! I'm trying to tell you, you don't need a prayer that's three pages long. Just cry out, holy, 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 and see if God doesn't begin to lift you up. Brother Gurley, Brother Gurley, there's a reason why I'm not happy. There's a reason why I'm not singing. There's a reason why I can't say holy. Why? Brother Gurley, when I'm lifted up to the presence of God, I don't feel worthy. I can't say holy. I want to say, woe is me. Woe is me. Hey, I got a praise just for you then. She came to Jesus. He told her to get out of there. He told her she was a dog. Oh, I feel like meddling. I'm not going to praise God tonight because so-and-so talked to me bad. I'm not coming back to that church. You hypocrites. Oh, come on back. We always need one more hypocrite. I'm not going back to that church. That youth group is the most stuck up, snobbish, proud youth group I've ever experienced. No, I've met another youth group. It's you. It's a youth group of one. Because nobody's as perfect as you are. Ooh, I just feel like saying this. Oh, God, I'm getting out here. I feel like it. She came into my office and she said, Brother Gurley, I've got to talk to you. I said, good, I need to talk to you. I said, you first. I guess you saw it tonight. I said, no, I didn't see it. What? There was a lady. She got to the platform. Her dress was not below her knee. I said, hey, I appreciate you telling me that. How high was it? It was about a half an inch above the bottom of her knee. I saw it when she stood up. Oh, okay. I appreciate that. Brother Gurley, I don't understand why you let this go on in our church. I'm sitting there listening to this young lady. And when she gets through, I said, are you through? She said, yeah. I said, good, because I needed to talk to you too. I don't understand why you fornicate with every boy you date. I said, is that why you get engaged? Is that why you get engaged to every boy you date so you think you can fornicate with them? And it's okay because you're going to get married? I said, let me tell you something, little sister. Next time you come into this office trying to pull the mote out of somebody else's eye, you better get the beam out of your own. If you can't worship because nobody around you is spiritual enough, why don't you show us how it's done? If you're so stinking spiritual, why don't you get out and win souls? Why don't you invite somebody to the house of God? They're in this building. They have the ministry of criticism. Why aren't you worshiping? I'm a fruit inspector. I'm here to make sure that everything that's done tonight is pleasing to God. Oh, wonderful. Pastor, did you see that young lady over there?
Yeah.
You see what she's doing? Yeah, let's see. She's slobbering and going wild, and she's knocked over the trash can and bloop, doing pretty good. I'd say grade 7 on the praise scale. What about you? I don't guess you knew what she did this week. It's really none of my business to tell you. No, it's not, but I'm sure you will tell me. I guess you know that she lied this week. Well, I hate that. God loves liars. He sure loved Abraham. What a liar. He loved Isaac. What a liar. He loved Jacob.
What a liar.
But he's still the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Isn't that amazing? Ooh, I don't know how far to go with this right here. But I'm just... I can't think of anything better to do if you made a mistake this week than to forget about yourself and say, God, I'm sorry. Lord, I'm coming to you. God, I want to worship you. I'm not worthy, but I know you're worthy. I'm not worthy, but I know you're worthy. I'm not holy, but I know you're holy. I don't like myself at times, but he ain't never done me nothing but good. Brother Gurley, doesn't that get on your nerves? So carnal. They probably got it off some television show somewhere, or one of them filthy rock music concerts somewhere. And, well, hold it. Wait a minute. Psalm 47. Say, clap your hands, all you people. And shout! You know what I'd like to do with those Pentecostal fruit inspectors? I'd like to get them off the back rows. I had one of them come up and tell me a few years ago, youth choir got through singing, they had knocked over every microphone. I mean, it looked like Ezekiel's Valley of Dry Bones up here. They were all, you know, just laying down about like this. They were all just laying around about like this. Hold on a second, I'm through. Not through yet. I got to knock them all down. They had knocked over chairs. And he came up to me. Hang on. They got through, they exited that platform. It looked like the Northridge earthquake. I'm telling you, it was devastating. He came up to me and said, Brother Gurley, do you really think that was necessary? No. Nobody made us do it. No. He said, you probably blew one of them amps and speakers tonight. I said, great. We paid for it. We reserve the right to break it. I was preaching along. He had gotten up and gone and told the sound man, you better turn that down. He's going to break it. And they obeyed him. I got a hold of those sound men after church. I said, listen, buddy, you're in there because I put you in there. If I say turn it up, turn it up. If I say we're going to pull the speakers down and jump up and down on them, that's exactly what we're going to do. So anyway, he came up to me and said, you know that youth choir, they're a little emotional. I just don't think it's right. But here's why I love this man. I really do. I love this man. I looked at him and I said, you know what? You need to let that get on you. He looked at me. I was smiling when I said it. I said, you need to let that get on you. He looked at me. Big old tears got in his eyes. He said, Brother Gurley, have I gotten so far away from God that I don't realize what really worship is all about anymore? The next service, we were singing Amazing Grace or Near My God to Thee or the doxology. I don't know what it was. And suddenly, I look from the back of the church, and here comes this white-haired gentleman. He's running those aisles. You don't need to have a doctorate degree in music to know how to worship Him. You don't need to be a professional. Just a little bit of praise. Just a little bit of praise. Just a little bit of praise. I went to senior youth camp in California in 1995, and I did not speak with tongues, and I did not shout. I didn't break a sweat a single night. You want a badge? You want a trophy? Shame on you. I want to tell you something. You say, Brother Gurley, it's not all in the shout. You're right. I know you can have the form of godliness without having the power thereof. I know that. But I know one more thing. You can't have the power of godliness without having the form of it. In other words, there may be a shout when it isn't real. But if it is real, there will be a shout. There will be a hallelujah. There will be praise. There will be worship. Hold it. If I knew who you were in this building, Brother Claiborne, I'm not just picking on you. I'd come get you by the hand if you hadn't spoken in tongues all week long. If you hadn't shouted and danced, I'd grab you by your furry little paw and I'd look in your reptile eyes and I'd say, you cold-blooded, heartless, carnivorous creature, you. How in the world, when God has done all that He's done for you, in the world can you stand there and look down your snooty little nose at everybody else? How in the world can you stand there? I get you by the hand and say, this is the way you dance. I say, this is the way you talk in tongues. This is the way you shout. This is the way you worship God. It's not as hard as you think it is. Just a little bit of heartfelt praise. This is the altar. Move back. Move back. Here's our altar. I need Eva Dean, Eva Counselor, Eva Preacher, Preacher's Wife. Come on. Come on. I need you up here right now. I need move. Come on. Down here. I want all the preachers standing on this bench right here. Come on. Eva, preacher in the house. Your wife may say, honey, you ain't much of a preacher. Get on down here anyhow. I want the preacher standing right here beside Brother Smith. I look over here and here's Brother Cantrell. I know he's got to be hurting. Nobody knows the trouble he's seen. Hang on a second. Hang on. I need preachers. Preachers' wives, I want you standing right around on the front row. I want to form a huge circle here. Move back, guys. Move back, guys. We need room for our preachers and our preachers' wives. You may be a youth leader, but you're not a preacher. That's all right. Come on down. You may be a youth leader's wife, but not a preacher's wife. Come on down here. Move on back, guys. I know this is hard to do. We're going to dedicate this altar around here tonight. Moses said, this is the dedication of the altar in the day that is anointed. Each of you's got a little bit of praise. It's not enough for everybody here, but it's enough to get the job done for what we need to do tonight. Come on. Hey, guys, move back a little bit. In fact, step back. Step back. This altar call's beginning in the back tonight. Move back. Move back. Move back. Move back. I want all the girls and the guys. Now, you listen to me. I'm not playing games with you tonight. If you get anything in God, it's going to be when you open up your heart and begin to worship Him and magnify Him and thank Him and say, Jesus, Jesus, I didn't even have to have that breath you just gave me right then, Lord. Jesus, I didn't even have to have that rational thought go through my brain. Lord, you gave me two good hands. You gave me two good eyes. You gave me two good legs. You gave me two good lungs, Lord. You gave me two good ears. You gave all of this to me for one reason, that I might glorify you and give it back to you. There's freedom in this building tonight. I want you to step aside from the back. Young ladies, to my right, I want you to come down here. When you get to the edge of these ladies, I just want you to close your eyes. I want you to lift your face to heaven. Lift your hands up to the Lord. Say whatever you feel like saying. Because the words don't matter that much. It's your heart that matters. Is it red hot and expecting something from God? Move aside. We need them to get down this aisle right here. Come on, from the back. From the back. Young men, from the back, come on. This is your night. You've been dying to get down here first, and all of these heathens have gotten first front of you. Come on. Come on, get out of those chairs and come on down here. Same thing. Would you come past these men? I want you to throw your hands up in the air. If you need to speak in tongues, tonight's the night. Come on. Come on. Sister Wilma, just step aside and pull those girls right on through. Come on, guys. Stay over here, guys. Stay right here on my side. Come on. Throw your hands up in the air. Throw your hands up in the air. I love you, Jesus. God, I need a breakthrough. I need a breakthrough tonight. Come on closer. Come on, girls, right through here. The same way I came. Breakthrough in the Holy Ghost tonight.